Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, June 11th, 2022. Section A. Inflation cools off, oil price rise, by Mel McEwen. Crude prices continued their rise this week amid continued concerns about supplies, but reports of accelerating inflation cooled their advance. WTI on the New York Exchange fell 3 of 5 trading days, but managed to post a 1.5% weekly increase, giving the commodity a 7th consecutive weekly increase. WTI's biggest move came Wednesday, when prices jumped $2.70 a barrel. WTI dropped 84 cents on Friday to end the week at $120.67. The posted price closed the week at $117.15. Natural gas fell 4 of 5 trading days. Henry Hub on the NYMEX started the week off with a bang, soaring to close at 9.322 per MCF. Prices fell Friday to close at 8.850. Edward Moya, senior market analyst of the Americas, said in his daily newsletter that prices are holding up despite new COVID-19 lockdowns in China and the U.S. government's concerning reports on inflation and consumer sentiment. The oil market is still very tight, and the eventual weaker U.S. consumer won't really take effect until closer to the end of the year. In its June short-term energy outlook, the U.S. Energy Information Act said hope that high energy prices will fall, but not until next year. Despite its expected price decline, the EIA said it expects wholesale fuel prices will remain well above previous years through the summer based on higher crude prices and the ongoing impact of low global inventories. Petition to remove elected officials is not new, by Stuart Doreen. The lawsuit brought forth to remove Lauren Nodolf as Midland County's district attorney is actually not a new concept for elected officials in Midland. In October of 2020, a nonprofit organization called Save Lee Rebels and its board president, Kerry McNeil, filed a petition that called for the removal of 5 MISD board members in 238th District Court. Visiting Judge Tryon Lewis, sitting by assignment in the district court, dismissed the lawsuit January 2021 with the costs of court assessed against the petitioners. Other notes from the aftermath of the lawsuit filed by Midlander David Wilson on Thursday include county officials saying Friday that Judge Leah Robertson has asked the presiding regional judge, 7th Administrator Judge Dean Rick Rucker, to assign a visiting judge from outside Midland to oversee judicial proceedings, including a trial if it goes to court. Wilson's petition was filed in the 385th District Court. During a meeting Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning, Midland County Commissioners Court will discuss and take action regarding the payment of legal fees for the district attorney in this case. The court does not have to provide representation, according to county officials, but Texas law allows the court to do so if commissioners believe it serves county purposes. Investors buy more than 40% of Midland County homes sold in 2021. By Stuart Doreen. More than 40% of homes sold in Midland County were sold to businesses or corporations, or those known as institutional buyers, according to the NAR. The total of 44% in 2021, and that was tied for the 5th highest percentage of any county with a population of 50,000 across the nation. Midland's percentage of institutional buyers was higher than the national and the state average. The report also stated Texas had the largest share of institutional buyers, and 9 of the 16 counties with the largest shares across the nation were in the Lone Star State. The other Texas counties are home to Texas' largest cities or home to those cities' suburbs. The National Association of Realtors report stated that in areas with more investors, there is a greater increase in home prices. They used Midland County as an example. It stated Midland's home price in the past decade was 89%. That is compared to a greater than 40% growth on average in areas where the share of investors is higher than 30. The report also pointed to the higher density of millennial residents. The report states that with a share of investors higher than 30%, the percentage of millennials is 27% on average. The report shows in Midland County the percentage of millennials is 37%. The Permian Basin Board of Realtors told the reporter Telegram that it is not seeing how the high percentage of investors is impacting the market locally, as so many properties are being snatched up quickly and prices are making it difficult for investors to buy. Carol Nall with the Board of Realtors said she believes multifamily properties are where investors are going. The report from the National Association stated that in areas with a share of investors higher than 30%, like Midland, the following could be found. The number of households grew 11% on average in the last decade. 30% of the household are renters. 27% of the household are millennials. Households earn about $59,000. While about 30% of them have at least a bachelor's degree, 12% of the residents moved within the past year. Home prices rose more than 40% in the past decade. Rents have increased more than 30% on average. Home sales rose about 70% on average. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center shows that 288 homes were sold in April for a median price of $321,250. In April 2012, 159 homes were sold for a median price of $197,000. The Permian Basin Board of Realtors showed that 2,704 homes were sold in 2021 for a median price of $307,813. In 2013, there were 1,833 homes sold for $221,504. 42% of realtors reported institutional investors typically purchased properties that needed repair. Johnson, Midland deserves a better DA, by Stuart Doreen. Midland County's judge has publicly weighed in on the recent news involving Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodoff. In a comment on a story post, Terry Johnson, not long after his decisive win in the GOP primary, states Midland deserves a better DA. The comment is typical of Johnson, who is not afraid to weigh in with comments or actions on high-profile issues, even those involving other elected officials or taxing entities in the Midland community. Not long after Midland ISD voted to change the name of the former Lee High School in 2020, Johnson went on the left-leaning website MoveOn.org to create a petition to keep the name Robert E. Lee High School. That petition was disabled because of inappropriate content. Johnson also responded to an invitation from the Democratic chair, Kathy Broderick, to attend a rally involving Beto O'Rourke by emailing her and writing, F. Beto. He later said he did not realize who was on the receiving end of his response. Johnson and Nodoff have a contentious history. Nodoff in 2020 sued Johnson to fulfill his duties to prepare and file the county budget. She is requesting that the budget be filed immediately with the county clerk and that Johnson be ordered to file the budget by July 31st in future years. Judge Stacy Trotter of Ector County's District Court ruled in favor of Johnson. On Thursday, it was announced that David Wilson's legal team had filed a petition to remove Nodoff from her position as district attorney. Joint effort collects donations for fans. Westlake Hardware in Midland and the Salvation Army are celebrating 10 years of fan drives. This year's fan drive, in which donations are being accepted to purchase fans for those in need to beat the summer heat, will last through June 19th. Donations can be made at the local Westlake Hardware store or online at westlakehardware.com. Westlake customers can also donate by rounding up their purchases at the register. Since the Midland campaign kicked off 10 years ago, over $20,000 has been donated, equating to more than 1,300 fans given to those in need. Rose Snyder passed away on May 19th. Memorial services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, June 18th at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Midland. Celebration of Life will continue that evening at 410 Woodcrest in Midland. Clifton Skip Prutt passed away on June 1st. A massive Christian burial will be held at Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church on Tuesday, June 14th at 10 a.m. in New Braunfels. Services will conclude after the Mass. Fitzgerald Thomas passed away on February 20th in Montreal, Canada. Glenda Rochelle Chandler passed away recently. Funeral services will be Thursday, June 16th at 10 a.m. at First United Church in Hobbs. Graveside services will be at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, Thursday, June 16th at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Services are under the direction of Chapel of Hope Funeral Home in Hobbs. Catherine Collar passed away on June 2nd. Margie Russell passed away on Saturday, May 28th. Memorial service will be held on June 16th, 3:30 p.m. at Fellowship Community Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklenwell's Funeral Home. Virginia Talbot passed away on June the 7th. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. at St. Anne's Church in Midland. The Memorial Mass will be Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. at St. Anne's. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklenwell's Funeral Home. Anita Romero passed away on June the 6th. Cremation services have been arranged by family. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Helen Teddy Pokey passed away on April 11th. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, June 13th at Grace Lutheran Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklenwell's Funeral Home.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, June 11th. Garcia attorney asks judge to reconsider. Filing comes one day after she was sentenced to 40 years by Kim Smith. One of Angelica Garcia's defense attorneys has filed a motion asking the judge who sentenced her to 40 years in prison Thursday to reconsider. According to the motion filed by Michael McLeish, Garcia pleaded guilty to two counts of intoxication manslaughter and the July 3, 2019 deaths of Mia and Maya Coy, reasonably anticipating that if the jury gave her prison instead of probation, Judge Dan Whalen would run the sentences concurrently based on his decision in another intoxication manslaughter case. In January 2019, the 70th Ector County District Court judge sentenced Mark Garrett, now 28, to 20 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to three counts of intoxication manslaughter and three counts of intoxication assault. According to McLeish's motion, Garrett could have received as much as 90 years in prison. Police arrested Garrett June 22, 2017, after his Dodge Challenger slammed into an ice cream van, which caused both vehicles to burst into flames. The wreck killed the three passengers inside the van, Richard McCrell, 63, and his wife Barbara McCrell, 46, and Angel Pierce, 28. The wreck seriously injured Garrett, who was drunk, and his three teenage passengers, Maurice Green, Michaela Bazan, and Alexis Dominguez. McLeish has asked for a hearing on the matter. The state has not yet had an opportunity to file a response and does not comment on pending litigation. Garcia pleaded guilty on Wednesday, and her trial immediately moved into the punishment phase. According to the evidence presented by the state, Garcia left Toby's Lounge in the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome drunk on July 3, 2019, and a few minutes later blew through a stop sign, went over a curb and through a barricade without braking. She then hit Mia and Maya Coy, throwing them into the air, before coming to a stop after hitting a portable light stand that moved 35 feet on impact. According to a forensic pathologist, the injuries the twins sustained were not survivable, no matter what medical intervention was provided. Under Texas state law, the jury had the option of placing Garcia, 38, on probation or giving her a prison sentence ranging from 2 to 20 years on each count. They opted for the maximum sentence. Counselor of the Year Gives Her All by Ruth Campbell. When Gonzales Elementary School's Christy McGuire realized she had won Counselor of the Year for Ector County ISD, she got emotional. McGuire is in her 15th year with ECISD and her 10th year as a counselor. She taught for 5 years, and this is her third year as a counselor at Gonzales. She said she tries hard to make her students, school, family, and team are taken care of. McGuire added that she was completely surprised by the award. My principal was like, "We have a situation, so we're coming down the hallway," and I'm like, "Oh, my goodness, what's going on?" And when they came in, I just started crying because I feel completely honored that that's how my colleagues see me, McGuire said. She has worked at Gonzales, Burnett, Burleson, Ross, Sam Houston, and Buse. For a time this past year, she was at Gonzales and Sam Houston. Executive Director of Guidance and Counseling, Nancy Vanley, said McGuire gave her all to both campuses this year. She maintains a caring and positive attitude with students and adults. She makes all around her feel valued, Vanley said in a text message. Whatever teachers see a need for is what she provides to children. The teachers are real good about getting a hold of me and letting me know, "Hey, can you stop by my room to see this kiddo?" And a lot of our kiddos, they know I have a pink slip system where I leave pink slips on my door because this year I'm split between two campuses. I was only actually here 3 days a week, and then I was at another campus 2 days a week helping out over there. And so my kids know, "Give Miss McGuire a pink slip, and I will get you in the next day I'm on campus." That's how we've just kind of done things, she said. Born and raised in Odessa, McGuire and her husband Richard have 3 children. She earned her 2 associate's degrees from Odessa College and a dual bachelor's from University of Texas, Permian Basin in psychology and sociology. She also has licensed professional counselor hours. McGuire didn't always want to be a counselor. "Ever since 5th grade, I thought I was going to be an attorney. I graduated from Odessa High School in 02. I was getting ready for college and have decided that was not the track for me. My dad had me sit down and said, 'Okay, well, you've got to choose a path, so pick one.' It was one of the things that OC offered at the time," McGuire said. "So that's the direction she went, and it just so happened it was something she enjoyed." She added that winning the award has made her want to work harder. "Now it's going to be like the bar has been set. So it's got to be there or higher is how I'm viewing it," McGuire said. In her job, she said she saw a lot of grief and loss this year and struggles with anxiousness. She also helps teachers with behaviors, talking with students about attendance and friendship dilemmas, and communication with parents, among other issues. You wouldn't necessarily think elementary students would be facing some of the same things as older students, but they do, she said. There has been an increase in anxiety the last couple of years, but what I've kind of sort of noticed as well, or the trend that I've tended to see with my children here, is that it's a little bit easier for them to bounce back from everything. Our kiddos are so resilient. Where it may take a semester or longer for someone that's been anxious about something else, they do seem to kind of bounce back a little bit faster since we've been able to reopen, McGuire said. Along with counseling, she and her husband own Mimi's Tutoring and Mother's Day Out. They also plan to open a child care business for teachers. Local Walmart and Sam's Club stores to raise money for medical center health system. Local Walmart and Sam's Club stores are once again joining forces to raise money for medical center health system during the annual Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, CMN Hospitals, campaign. In the Permian Basin, Walmart and Sam's Club associates, customers, and members have raised more than $2 million for medical center health system since 1987. On a national level, Walmart and Sam's Club raised more than $2 billion for CMN hospitals in the U.S. and Canada. Money is raised primarily through a register campaign where customers and members contribute $1 or more when they check out. Customers can also donate to the nearest dollar through Roundup. In addition, donations can be made through online checkout and through the Walmart app. The 2021 campaign raised $95,000 for medical center health system. This year's register campaign runs from June 13th to July 10th. Customers and members can conveniently donate $1 or more when they check out at any Permian Basin Walmart or Sam's Club stores, including Odessa, Midland, Big Spring, Fort Stockton, and Pecos. Money raised at the Permian Basin Walmart and Sam's Club stores goes directly to benefit the sick and injured kids treated at Medical Center Health System. Funds are used to pay for equipment, research, supplies, and charitable care at MCHS. Midland Habitat for Humanity to dedicate the 177th house. Midland. Midland Habitat for Humanity, MHFH, will dedicate its 177th house at 810 Wolfberry Court at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday to a deserving homeowner. The home was funded by the Hall Proctor Charitable Trust. MHFH is one of the premier institutions responsible for constructing affordable housing in the Permian Basin. The organization's partnership model offers deserving, hardworking families a hand up. MHFH uses a rigorous qualifying process that includes progress from the application through home ownership. Each participant contributes a minimum of 350 hours of sweat equity on the worksite and completes a home ownership education program. Successful candidates are then awarded a 0% interest mortgage, making home ownership a reality for some of the neediest families in the Permian Basin. Anyone interested in supporting MHFH's efforts in the Permian Basin can contact Jeff Myers, Chief of Staff, at 432-686-8877. On the net, habitatmidland.org. Odessan suing city over manhole cover. An Odessa woman has filed a lawsuit against the city of Odessa, claiming the city improperly installed a manhole cover and she fell and injured herself as a result. According to the lawsuit, Patsy Casas tripped and fell as she was leaving her job on the defendant's premises at 4101 East 42nd Street on July 20, 2020. Casas was injured and is now seeking $200,000 to $1 million in monetary damages, the lawsuit states. Casas' attorney, John Hanna, states in the lawsuit that the city failed to maintain the manhole cover in a reasonably safe condition and failed to give adequate and understandable warnings to Casas that the manhole cover was in an unreasonably dangerous condition. Casas is seeking damages for medical, hospital, and pharmaceutical expenses, physical and mental pain, physical impairment, disfigurement, and lost wages. According to the lawsuit, if it's proven Casas suffered from a pre-existing condition, the plaintiffs intend to show her condition was aggravated or exacerbated by the city's negligence. Daniel C. Jones, a senior assistant city attorney, said he doesn't believe the city has been served with the lawsuit. Therefore, since it is pending litigation, I cannot discuss the matter, he said via email. Traffic signals going live. Two sets of recently installed traffic signals are scheduled to be put into operation Monday. In Greenwood, traffic signals on Farm to Market 307 at the intersection of County Road 1090 should be put in operation Monday morning. Traffic signals at Billy Hext Road and the service roads of Highway 191 in Odessa should be put in operation Monday afternoon. Motorists are reminded that running red lights can have catastrophic results. Traffic control devices should always be respected and obeyed to protect you and your passengers. Several locations also had improvements made with overhead lighting. These locations are scheduled to be finished this summer. Midland County, 3 locations, Business Interstate 20 at County Road 1310, Farm to Market 307 at County Road 1050, and Farm to Market 1379 at County Road 120. Ector County, 3 locations, Highway 385 at Mescalero Drive, Highway 385 at Calcutta Street, and Farm to Market 2020, University Boulevard at Knox Avenue. Andrews County, 2 locations, Highway 385 at County Road 8000 and Highway 115 at Loop 1910 on the west side of Andrews. Crane County, Farm to Market 1233 at Farm to Market 1601. Ward County, Farm to Market 1776 at County Road 371. Willis Electric Company of Abilene won the project with a low bid of $1.74 million. U.S. lifts COVID-19 test requirement for international travel, the Associated Press, Washington. The Biden administration is lifting its requirement that international travelers test negative for COVID-19 within a day before boarding a flight to the United States, ending one of the last remaining government mandates designed to contain the spread of the coronavirus. A senior administration official said Friday that the mandate will expire early Sunday morning. The official, speaking on the condition of anonymity to preview the formal announcement, said the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention determined that the testing requirement is no longer necessary. The person said the CDC will reevaluate the issue every 90 days and could reinstate the requirement if a troubling new variant of COVID-19 emerges. Airline and tourism groups have been pressing the administration for months to eliminate the testing requirement, saying it discourages people from booking international trips because they could be stranded overseas if they contract the virus on their trip. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Saturday. Anthony Dean Dino Harris, 61, passed from this earth on June 6th at his home in Goldsmith, Texas. He was born on March 24, 1961, to Joy Lynn and Philip Harris in Texarkana, Arkansas. Those left to cherish his memories are his loving wife, Chantrice, children Cody and wife Amber, Samantha and husband Xavier, Ramey and Bobby, Laren, Chris, and Carla, father Philip Harris, several grandchildren, and numerous family members. He is preceded in death by his mother Joy Lynn, brother Milton, and son Brazen. A memorial service was held June 11th at Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Condolences to the family may be made online at acreswestfuneral.com. Raymond Glenn Tucker, 63, of Odessa, died Wednesday, June 8th, in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 3 p.m. June 13th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Helen Teddy Pocky, 96, of Midland, died Saturday, April 11, 2020, in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Monday, June 13th, at Grace Lutheran Church. Arrangements are by Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Red Rover partnered with Fix West Texas at Pat Wellness Clinics this weekend. This weekend, Red Rover is on the ground helping Fix West Texas in two drive-through, no-cost, low-cost pet wellness clinics in Odessa, Saturday and Sunday. The Sherwood Park Pets and Need Vaccination and Microchip Clinic was held at Sherwood Park, 4819 North Everglade Avenue. Ulmer Park Pets and Need Vaccination and Microchip Clinic was held Sunday at 2700 West Kentucky Avenue in Midland. In under-resourced communities, limited access to adequate pet care can not only lead to preventable health issues, but heartbreak for families. Thanks to this partnership, hundreds of pets in Midland and Odessa communities will get the preventative care, food, and supplies they need to live healthy, happy lives. Red Rover will deploy 6 Red Rover responders, trained volunteers, to assist Fix West Texas with the intake, registration, and distribution of pet supplies. In addition to providing volunteers, Red Rover is committed to covering the cost of vaccinations for roughly 600 pets, which includes the Bordetella, rabies, and distemper parvo vaccines. The need for pet vaccines is undeniable, both for the health and well-being of animals and for communities with limited resources. Pet vaccines protect against life-threatening disease, prevent diseases that can be passed between animals, as well as those from animals to people, can help to avoid costly treatments for preventable diseases, are often required by law. On the net, fixwesttexas.org.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American on Sunday, June 12th. Oil windfall tax a no sale in Texas. Pfluger, TXOGA, and TIPRO say it would hurt more than help, by Bob Campbell. With the Biden administration and congressional Democrats gearing up to try passing a windfall profit tax on oil, U.S. Representative August Pfluger of Texas energy groups are gearing up to stop them. At a time when families are suffering from record-high energy prices, President Biden is opting to tax American energy producers that fuel our country, Pfluger told the Odessa American Monday. Prices will go up and families will continue to pay even more of their paychecks each month to keep the lights on. Mark this down as another Biden economic blunder that will only slow economic growth. The San Angelo Republican, who represents Ector County and much of the Permian Basin and the 11th Congressional District, said the solution to inflation and high gasoline and diesel prices would be to establish a more positive economic environment. Congress should be encouraging further capital for the oil and gas sector so we can unleash American energy potential, Pfluger said. This means rolling back regulatory barriers, expediting oil and gas infrastructure projects, and unleashing energy reports from the Permian Basin. Texas Oil and Gas Association President Ted Staples said a windfall profit tax would only make conditions worse. More government meddling will only hurt consumers as efforts like this drive more production out of the United States and job costs, Staples said. If the goal is to help consumers, we need policies that encourage more supply by unleashing American energy leadership. Inflation is impacting this industry like every sector of the economy, he said. The government unprecedented spending during the COVID-19 pandemic contributed to the inflationary factors that consumers are suffering under today. It would help consumers to encourage more growth and production of U.S. oil that is produced in an environmentally responsible way. Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association President Ed Loggenecker noted Tuesday that National Economic Council Duty Director for Bart Ramarty had just announced that Biden administration supports the big oil windfall profit tax. Bill filed March 10th by Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna of California and Democratic U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island to tax companies producing at least 300,000 barrels of oil per day. We are very much open to the proposal that would provide relief to consumers at the pump, Ramarty said. One thing you want to be aware of when you're looking at those types of proposals is how it's going to affect supply as well. I don't think it's an insurmountable hurdle, but it's an important question at the time when there's clearly a supply issue. Khanna and Whitehouse reported May 24th that 44th House and Senate Democrats had signed a letter asking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to bring their bill to a vote and enact a quarterly tax equal to 50% of the average per barrel price between 2015 and 2019. Longnecker said the plan is yet another effort in growing list of misguided domestic energy policies that will be unintended consequences for consumers and our economy. As we experienced in the 1980s, when a similar scheme failed, this type of tax would actually result in lower domestic production and a higher reliance on foreign sources of energy, further exacerbating the rising cost of goods and services, he said. The windfall profits tax enacted during the Carter administration also raised far less revenue than promised and was ultimately repealed. U.S. producers are subject to unique market factors, including extreme periods of volatility, and they have no control over the price of oil and natural gas. There were more than 100 barrels of natural gas company bankruptcies in 2020, and U.S. producers lost tens of billions of dollars due to the global demand destruction from COVID-19. Longenecker said, manipulating free market principles and instituting a policy-motivated windfall tax would set up a dangerous precedent. Private sector growth and innovative rely on a tax code that is stable, predictable, and not punitive. Andrews planning for new business park development. Staff writer. Andrews, as Economic Development Administrator grant through the U.S. Department of Commerce, will help finance infrastructure for a new industrial park in Andrews. U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo announced May 24th that the department's Economic Development Administration awarded $1.5 million grant to Andrews Economic Development Corporation for critical infrastructure to support a new business park. The grant is funded by the American Rescue Plan. The funding will provide road and water infrastructure for the Northwest Business Park, supporting business development and growth and new lease. The EDA grant will be matched with $2.4 million in local funds and expected to create 50 jobs and generate $62 million in private investments, according to grantee estimates. The infrastructure will include water, sewer, and streets for a new industrial park, which will be on the northwest side of town, Andrews Development Corporation Executive Director Morse Hayes says. The park involves a 44-acre tract. Hayes said they will start the process of getting the land platted. The Economic Development Corporation purchased the land about a year ago. We thought we had a pretty good chance at getting the grant, so we actually hired a grant writer to put this together for us, Hayes said. He added that there are no specific plans yet for what will go into the park, but they want to let people know that there will be lots available. Hayes said he would probably plat 7 lots, and there's a big project that can be combined. There are 2 industrial parks in Andrews currently, Business Park West and Business Park South. Most of the lots in each park already have businesses on them. The business parks have been a great way to get businesses to locate here and to expand, Hayes said. If there's a good project, he said, the entities will work together. Sometimes there will be a tax abatement, and that's where all the entities except the school, the hospital district, and the county and the city all go together on a tax abatement. We do that to encourage people to come here, too, Hayes added. He said the school district is a good drawing card. You get a little bit more rural-type atmosphere, and some people want their kids to go to a smaller school sometimes. I grew up in a town, graduating class of 28, so I'm a proponent of a small school myself, Hayes said. He grew up in McLean, about 70 miles east of Amarillo. Hayes said he will go out for requests for qualifications for some engineering firms to select an engineer to plat the land. Once we get it platted, we'll go out for bids to put the water, sewer, and roads in, he said. Hayes said the estimate, it will be about 2 years before the business starts popping up at the park. You don't really have anything to promote unless you have all the infrastructure there. It's not a site until you have it all. Otherwise, you've just got land, Hayes says. When businesses come to town, they ask if there's water, sewer, fiber, and internet. And when you can check yes on all those boxes, then they'll be more serious to look at you, Hayes said. The business park is in an area of town that is growing with new homes, apartments, and potential for more. Hayes has been an executive director of the Andrews Economic Development Corporation for 3.5 years. He did the same work in Monahans for 13 years. Hayes said he moved to Andrews to be closer to family. His son is in the economic development director in Denver City. He's done a great job. He enjoys it. He's starting at a younger age than me, Hayes said. He worked for Encore for 21 years before going into economic development. Hayes added that being in business that serves the area helps tremendously in economic development. Working with the electric company, he did easements and learned a lot about utilities. Then in Monahans, he learned more about city utilities such as water and sewer. We actually put in water in certain streets on the east side of Monahans, Hayes said. The Economic Development Corporation there developed the land where the Ward County Event Center is now. There's also a restaurant and hotel nearby. We own that land, and the county was awesome, Hayes said. Enough is enough, say thousands demanding new gun measures. The Associated Press, Washington. Thousands of people rallied on the National Mall and across the United States on Saturday in a renewed push for gun control measures after recent deadly mass shootings from Uvalde to Buffalo, New York, that activists say should compel Congress to act. Enough is enough, District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser told the Second March for Our Lives rally in her city. I speak as a mayor, a mom. I speak for millions of Americans and American mayors who are demanding that Congress do its job. And its job is to protect us, to protect our children from gun violence. Speaker after speaker in Washington called on senators who are seen as a major impediment to legislature to act or face being voted out of office, especially given the shock of the nation's conscience after 19 children and 2 teachers were killed May 24th at Robb Elementary in Uvalde. If our government can't do it, anything to stop 19 kids from being killed and slaughtered in their own school and decapitated is time to change who is in government, said David Hogg, a survivor of the 2018 shooting that killed 17 students and staff at Moriarty Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. As co-founder of the March for Our Lives organization that was created after shooting and held its first rally in Washington not long afterward, Hogg led the crowd in chants of vote them out. Another Parkland survivor and group co-founder, X. Gonzalez, delivered an impassioned, profanity-laced plea to Congress for change. We are being murdered, they screamed and implored Congress to act your age, not your shoe size, added Yolanda King, granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr. This time it's different because this isn't about politics, it's about morality. Not right and left, but right and wrong. And that doesn't mean thoughts and prayers. That means courage and action. Manuel Oliver, whose son Joaquin was killed in the Parkland shooting, called on students to avoid going back to school until our election leaders stop avoiding the crisis of gun violence in America and start acting to save our lives. Hundreds gathered at the amphitheater in Parkland, where Deborah Hickson, whose husband, high school athletic director Crick Hickson, died in the shooting. She said it's all too easy for young men to walk into stores and buy weapons. Going home to an empty bed and an empty seat at the table is a constant reminder that he's gone, said Hickson, who serves as a school board member. We weren't done making memories, sharing dreams, and living life together. Gun violence ripped that away from my family. Phoenix, its record a scorching hit grips the Southwest, the Associated Press. Record high temperatures hit or were poised to land Saturday in California and Arizona as dangerous heat swept over the American Southwest. The National Weather Service in Phoenix reported a temperature of 114 degrees Fahrenheit, tying the record high for this date set back in 1918. Meanwhile, temperatures in several inland areas of California reached triple digits by that afternoon, with a high of 123 degrees Fahrenheit expected in Death Valley. Excessive heat warnings and heat advisories were issued for parts of the Northern California through the Central Valley and down to the southeastern desert. The National Weather Service also predicted 114 degrees Fahrenheit in Palm Springs and temperatures around 100 degrees Fahrenheit across San Joaquin Valley and the Sacramento area. Heat was expected to extend into inland portions of San Francisco Bay Area, but most of the California coastal zones remained free of heat advisories. The scorching heat in Northern California was expected to subside Saturday evening. Heat advisories in part of Southern California were extended through Sunday. Meteorologists warned of very high heat risk in South Central Arizona through the weekend. The high temperatures were likely to approach record-breaking territory, anywhere between 110 and 115 degrees Fahrenheit. They have urged the public to limit outdoor activities. Las Vegas, part of New Mexico, and Texas also will see triple digits. Heat is part of the normal routine of summertime and in the desert. But weather forecasters say that doesn't mean people should feel at ease. Excessive heat causes more deaths in the U.S. than any other weather-related disaster, including hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes combined.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, June 13th. Commissioners to hear Con Ector Task Force presentation. Ector County Commissioners will hear a presentation from the Con Ector Task Force regarding a broadband plan and to establish a local office of broadband for Ector County during their regular meeting Tuesday. The meeting is scheduled for 10 a.m. in the Commissioners' Courtroom in Room 120 of the Ector County Administration Building Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. The task force was formed more than 2 years ago, called the Connector Task Force, and includes community leaders in education, government, healthcare, and the business community to help bring affordable high-speed internet to Ector County. Many people in the county did not have access to it, can't afford it, or if they have it, it's poor quality. In other business, commissioners will discuss, consider, and take any necessary action to reappoint Gus Ortega to the Board of Trustees of PermiaCare for a 2-year term beginning June 26 to June 25, 2024. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a request by UTPB Career Services, Division of Student Affairs and Leadership, for Ector County to serve as a host site for interns and to allow department heads and elected officials to sign the worksite agreements for their respective departments. Consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding a proposed ban of rockets with sticks and missiles with fins for the 4th of July fireworks season, authorizing the county judge, county commissioners, and other county officials and employees to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action for Ector County to apply for unclaimed property capital credits for counties and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, approve, and take any necessary action to appoint two commissioners as members of the board which appoints and reappoints the purchasing agent. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding public nuisance abatement procedures for a property located at 7006 North Golder, Swink Edition, Block 1, Lots 1 through 3, Ector County, Texas, Precinct 1, and authorized the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding donating units 1066 and 1080 with light bar to the West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding a temporary portable building for animal control and authorize the county judge to sign. To consider, discuss, and approve the purchase of a replacement vehicle that was totaled in an accident and approve a budget amendment to General Fund Post-Sentence Monitoring Motor Vehicle Equipment 001-425-5505 for $49,450 to insurance proceeds for $20,354 from unreserved fund balance 001-3310 for $29,093. She takes her happiness to work. Transportation Employee of the Year, grateful for honor. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Longtime Ector County ISD bus attendant Belinda Galindo loves her job. She has been with the district for 22 years, 16 of which as a special needs lift bus attendant. Quote, I make sure that they're sitting in their seat and they have their seatbelt on to be safe, and if they need the shoes tied, their nose cleaned, I keep an eye on them, Galindo said. She was a monitor for pre-kindergarten students, and one of her bosses said she would be good as a lift bus monitor. Recently, she was honored with the Transportation Employee of the Year Award. Quote, I couldn't believe it, girl, Galindo said. I was just stunned. I said, me? There's a lot of people here, you know. They work hard. I just couldn't believe it, but I'm honored to get it. I was grateful when they came the other day to give me my award. I was happy. Everybody came from downtown. End quote. In May, top officials from ECISD traveled through the district, stopping to laud honorees with balloons, placards, kazoos, and more. Quote, I was in shock because I didn't think a lot of people are going to come downtown for this. I was just surprised, but happy, because it made me feel very special, me working for them and me working with my special needs kids. I love kids. They just think I'm so funny, Galindo said. The children are what she enjoys most about her job. Quote, just being here and seeing them every morning with their big smiles, seeing them happy. When they get on my bus, they get me. They get happy to see me. The parents are so great with me, too, because they know that I pay attention to their kids, Galindo said. Galindo has two grown children and three grandchildren. Suffering Bukayang, driver supervisor, said Galindo has exactly what it takes to work with special needs students. Quote, she has learned to adapt to each student's special needs. She has patience, a kind heart, and love and compassion for her students. She loves to make her students laugh and smile. Some of her students have mobility issues. She makes sure she is always there to assist them and keep them safe during their bus ride, Bukayang said in a statement. Quote, she greets her students and parents by name and with a big smile. ECISD Transportation is very blessed to have her on board, she added. Galindo said Bukayang is very good to her. Quote, they're all good. Everybody's nice. I like to get along with everybody. I like to come in the morning and say good morning to everybody. I leave my problems at home and bring my happiness to work, she added. Slip, slop, slap, seek, slide. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I cannot remember a year growing up that I didn't get a bad sunburn during the summer months. Most summers, it was more than once. Sunscreen wasn't something we ever thought of. We just thought it was normal that you were going to get sunburned when you went to the beach or on a picnic during the summer. With my own kids, it was something we used, but they still had their share of sunburns. We didn't know then about how important it is to reapply frequently. We just kept going up on the SPF factor, thinking that would fix the problem. But now, especially after seeing my brothers and cousins have skin cancers or precancers removed, I have gotten to be a sun safety fanatic for myself and for the people in my life. Sun safety is important to remember even on our rare cloudy days. The most common cause of skin cancer in the U.S. is UV light exposure from the sun or artificial tanning beds. Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the U.S., with more than 63,000 new melanoma cases, the deadliest form of skin cancer, every year. 9,000 people die each year in the U.S. from skin cancer. The annual cost of treatment in the U.S. for skin cancer is about $8.1 billion. These statistics are almost nauseating, especially if you know that most skin cancers are completely preventable by practicing sun safety. More than one out of three Americans reports they have gotten a sunburn each year, 400,000 cases of skin cancers each year, 6,000 of which are melanomas related to indoor tanning. Anyone can get skin cancer. People with lighter skin tones are at higher risk for skin cancer, but those with darker skin are generally diagnosed at later stages when it becomes more difficult to treat. That is why it is so important to check your skin regularly, no matter your risk factor. The American Cancer Society doesn't have a specific recommendation for timing, but they do recommend regular skin self-exams. ACS recommends you speak to your primary healthcare provider about how often you should check your skin, but went on to say most physicians recommend a skin self-check once a month. A skin self-exam is best done in a well-lit room with a full-length mirror. You can use a handheld mirror to look at areas that are hard to see. It may be helpful to have a spouse, partner, close friend, or family member help you look at hard-to-see areas, such as your scalp or back. The first time you look at your skin, make sure you learn the pattern of any moles, blemishes, freckles, and/or other marks so you can see if they change. If they do change, speak to your doctor. Make sure you are looking at every surface of your skin. Don't forget places like underarms, between fingers and toes, under breasts, or other skin folds. Don't forget to look around and under nails, too. The ACS has a very detailed list on how to do a skin self-exam on their website at www.cancer.org/healthy/be-safe-in-sun/skin-exams. If you find a new, expanding, or changing growth, spot, or bump on the skin, a spot that bleeds and doesn't heal after several weeks, a rough or scaly patch which might crust or bleed, a wart-like growth, a mole or other spot that is new or changing in size, shape, or color, or a mole with an odd shape, irregular edges, or a mole that has areas of different colors, show them to your primary healthcare provider or a dermatologist. As with all cancers, skin cancer is most easily treated early, which means early diagnosis is crucial. When it comes to skin cancer, the best thing we can do is prevention by practicing sun safety. The best way to remember sun safety is the phrase slip, slop, slap, seek, slide. Slip on a shirt, slop on sunscreen with an SPF of at least 30 that has UVA and UVB protection, and reapply frequently, especially if you get wet. Slap on a hat, seek shade whenever possible, and slide on sunglasses with UVA and UVB protection. Enjoy the summer sun and be safe.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.